We got a quorum, it's 4:00, so let's go ahead and get started here. Call the meeting to order. New employees, you want to introduce Lynn?
I sure will. As you probably remember, Courtney left us last month, good thing, she's a full-time mom at home now, we're very, very happy for her. But we are equally as happy that Lynn Valdez has decided to join us.
Hello.
And she will be our LUC's new recording secretary among her many, many, many other duties that she'll be responsible for here. She's worked at a number of locations here in the city and departments, and she is just absolutely top flight, and we are very, very lucky to have her. So Lynn, thank you so much for being here.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Okay, let's move on to approving the minutes. Need a motion to approve the minutes of September the 19th. Is there any additions, deletions, or alterations to the minutes?
I make a motion to approve the minutes of meeting 9/19.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, citizens report. Dick, I think you wanted to give us 3 minutes here.
Thank you, a couple of things. I was meeting with some folks in Longmont, and I just had a question. They indicated that POPA was telling Longmont that their rates are going to go up 2% in 2020 if they don't reduce peak load during the summer. By some amount, I'm not sure what. So my question is, did that demand on us as well? That if we don't reduce peak rates, our rates from POPA are going up also 2%.
I cannot speak for the city of Longmont.
Yeah, I just wanted to know that.
Our rates were raised 1% for 2020. That netted a 0.87%. 0.81% retail rate, which was an applied. The general overall rate increase across the board is approximately 5%. That does vary by customer class. And that was the budget that was presented to LUC and to council.
Okay, the context of that, I want to point out that the woman I talked to also added was that Longmont is putting in those AMI metering tools because of the rate increase.
I can't comment on that.
No, so the question I have is, I'd just like to know more about why they did it, and because if they're doing it to them, kind of feel they ought to do it to us.
My recommendation would be for you to inquire to the Longmont Power Department.
Okay. So just information only to you, Longmont is responding to that by putting in those kind of tools, because without them, people can't know what their rate is or the load is. Those tools will help them actually lower it down. Okay, I will respond to that. We're going to ask that tomorrow morning. Tomorrow evening also, so at that POP. And second thing, real quickly, do you folks manage microgrids in Loveland today?
We do not.
We do not. Okay. Well, here's an FYI. I'll leave it with Lynn. It's there is a microgrid conference in Denver on November the 8th. Some of us are going to go down and find out more about it as well. So, FYI. Here you go, Lynn. Thank you. That's it.
Okay. We have two informational items.
Oh, Jane had one too.
Sorry. Jane, you want to
speak?
Okay.
Sure. I just wanted to invite everybody to the Platte River Power Authority listening session tomorrow. That's at the Devereaux Room at 6 to 9 o'clock. Hope to see you there.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay, the first item, you can respond to that, Joe, but I know you do one on the second one.
So. Okay. I wanted to get the information that was submitted to the City Council a couple of weeks ago, I believe it was at the October 1st meeting, by a representative of Renewables Now Loveland and by Bruce Croissant. That information was submitted and it was posted in the agenda and comments were made that evening. In the packet as well is the response that I sent back to both the people who spoke as well as to our city councilors. And I just wanted to make, because there was so much of that did address the functions of this commission, its charter, and its requirements, that I felt obliged to include that in this month's packet, and I wanted you to see it. And that's really about all I had to say about that. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, I was going to say, good job on that memo. I learned a few things by just reading it, so it was a good job. Item number two.
Yeah, this is just an update. Last October, the Congress passed an act. The acronym is WIFIA, and if you ask me what WIFIA stands for, I'm not going to tell you. A lot of the act had to do with funding for water supply programs, but embedded in that act was the requirement for drinking water utilities to conduct a risk and resiliency assessment and to have that completed by December 31st, 2020, sending a notification letter in to EPA that this risk and resiliency assessment had been completed. Now, I don't know if you are aware that after the 9/11 attacks back in 2001, there was a requirement for drinking water utilities to conduct a vulnerability assessment. That assessment specifically aimed at adversaries, at anthropogenic attacks on the water utility. It did not address any natural hazards or anything like that. This differs significantly from that in that you not only have to look at anthropogenic impacts, but you have to assess all hazards. In other words, environmental hazards, weather, what can impact your water utility? What can you do? What kind of risks are associated with that? And what can you do as a utility to make the utility more resilient to these impacts? So, we will be embarking on that very shortly, probably just after the first of the year. We're going to be doing it internally. I think we can do it internally. The big change is going to be we're going to extend that not just to the drinking water side, but we will be doing it for our wastewater utility and our power division as well. And we will be doing that in-house. What we will do is conduct a series of workshops as to what the potential hazards are, what our critical infrastructure is, what the risks are then to that critical infrastructure, and what we can do to mitigate those risks. I will be reporting to you on the progress of that, but I will not be providing any output because, as you can well imagine, that's some fairly sensitive information that we would not want publicly disclosed. But I will keep you updated as to progress. We're going to have integrated teams that will look at the potential hazards. We'll identify critical infrastructure, the impacts of those hazards upon the infrastructure, the risks to the utility and its mission, and then what we can do to mitigate or eliminate, if possible, those risks. It's going to be a pretty good size lift, and I just wanted to let y'all know that it's something that is foremost in our mind always, is to continue to strengthen and harden the utility against events like the 2013 flood, hailstorms, snowstorms, and the unlikely nature of hurricanes sweeping up this way. We would want to take care of that. That's probably going to be a very low likelihood hazard, I would suspect. But it's a pretty important program, and then after that, we will then have to update our emergency response plan to accommodate the findings of that plan. So it's going to be a big lift. I'm really looking forward to it. Hopefully, my eager staff is also looking. I don't see a lot of eagerness being displayed back there, unfortunately. I see a lot of head shaking going on, but at least they're not weeping. So we've got that going for us. I just want to let you guys know that that's the kind of attention that we're expanding that from just the required drinking water to the wastewater utility and power as well. So it should be a good time.
How creative do you have to get on some of these proposed threats, Joe? Because, I mean, you could take that and run with it if you weren't careful.
Now, are you talking about the natural threats or the other anthropogenic?
Yeah.
One of the first times, I did 53 vulnerability assessments, either managed or conducted, 53 VAs across the country in 2002, 3, and 4. One of the first time I presented to a governing board in closed session, they were somewhat disappointed. Well, where's the terrorist?
Yeah.
Well, the best information that we had was that there was virtually no terrorist threat to that utility. and that the design, what they call the design basis threat, was the same it had been all thieves, vandals, and disgruntled employees. EPA has issued a tech memo describing how you can go about determining the anthropogenic threats in your neighborhood. I will be working with the Loveland Police Department, and we will determine what that is. The great likelihood will be thieves, vandals, and disgruntled employees. And that's the people that you need to harden from a security standpoint. They were very disappointed.
Yeah, no aliens,
No. Pretty normative stuff.
All right.
I don't think we ever had any hurricanes, but we had a tornado in 1965 come down through the canyon.
We'll look at all of those things. Anyway, I wanted you all to know that, because it's a big lift, but I think it's going to be a really, really good exercise. And what it's going to also do is give our staff a fuller and bigger picture of the whole utility. So, thank you, Mr. Chair. Mm-hmm.
Are there any more questions or comments? Okay, let's go on to the regular agenda. Item number 3, we're going to award a construction contract for P1 pump station rehabilitation project construction.
Hello, I'm Leslie Manning. I'm filling in for Tanner since he's on a plane to go somewhere. But this project is a 29th Street pump station.
Do you want me to?
Yeah. Oh, it's right there. Sorry.
It's okay.
It's very, very short.
Well, before you get started, I had one question. I know that we have some kind of publication where we solicit or request bids. Is that how we got these contractors to bid on this contract?
We had an SOQ. We requested qualification statements for electrical contractors, and that went out, and we got some submittals in October. And so that was just for electrical contractors that could work on the pump stations, the water treatment plant, the wastewater plant. So this project is a 60% electrical project, so we were able to create a short list of pre-qualified contractors.
I see.
And they were the only ones that are allowed to bid on the electrical portion of this project.
Okay.
So we didn't do a pre-qualification for the general civil contractors. So this just went out to bid, and we had 6 bidders. Mm-hmm. But this P1 pump station is at the corner of 29th and Rio Blanco. Mm-hmm. It serves this entire pink area. It's the second largest pressure zone in the city. So you can see how large it is and all the open space for future development too.
Was this anticipation of the new storage structure we're going to build?
I guess that's one
reason that we're doing this?
It's in coordination. The main reason, well, there's 3 reasons we're doing this, which will be a slide coming up. I'll get to that. Why we need the project is right now, we can't pump peak demand. So in the summertime, we want to be able to pump the peak demand from this pump station. We still have enough water with our tanks to be able to supply enough water for the peak demand, but we want to be able to pump it. Also for this project, we want to be able to remove the obsolete electrical equipment and gear that's in there. So that's why this is a 60% electrical project. And then the other third thing that's really crucial is we're going to put a backup generator. So right now there is no backup generation for this project, for this pump station.
Well, that question, will that backup generator, will that handle the full pumping?
Yes.
Departments?
Yes, it will. So what, I guess 12 years ago or so, pump 105, pump 5 and 4 were replaced. They were 50 horsepower pumps, and they were upgraded to 100 horsepower pumps. And it left 2 other pumps that were 50 horsepower, not on VFDs, and a jockey pump that is obsolete and we don't even use. So this project is going to replace those 2 50 horsepower pumps with 2 100 horsepower pumps. They're going to be on VFDs, so you can control the flow.
Supposed to be
a frequency drive. And then we're going to take out that jockey pump that we don't use and put a PRV in that place.
PRV?
A pressure reducing valve.
Thank you.
And then the generator, the new generator, which is a big chunk of this price, is right here, so we'll have a new generator that will be able to, I think it's all the pumps will be able to supply power if we ever lost power there.
So the generator is just a backup?
Yes, backup power generator. So here's a bid tab. There are six bidders. The lowest and best is Velocity Constructors at $994,000.
Just a question. Is there some sensing in there that when there's a pressure drop below a certain amount, then the pumps kick in, or how does this work?
The pumps are all in SCADA control system, so there are
levels.
There's levels that are on the pumps that tell it when to turn on, turn off. And so the new pumps will also be on the SCADA system. And so our operators and the people at the plant can see too what the levels are, if they need to turn on another pump. Or if the SCADA system will reach a certain level, like flow, they'll kick on another pump.
So is there always at least one pump running to supply out there?
Right now, I think there's, right now, probably not. In the summertime, there are probably those pumps are running pretty frequently.
So this project just meets the peak demand requirements?
In the summertime.
In the summertime.
Yes. And then we will expand upon that pump station for the P2 for the future.
How do the pumps relate to the storing water in our tank, in our new tank? And I had a question about that. Is the tank we've got now is a 4 million gallon tank and steel. Our new one's going to be 6 million and it's going to be concrete. Why don't we do another steel?
There's corrosion possibilities with the steel tank. You'll have less corrosion. You want to do CP around the concrete tank. You don't have the maintenance you will on a steel tank with paint and coating and all the time.
No. So why do we do the steel then?
In 1963,
that was the way to do it.
A lot of the ground storage tanks today are these concrete tanks.
How big of a generator are we putting in?
600?
I think
600 kW. 600 kW?
Okay. What size is it?
600
kW. 600 kW.
It's a pretty big generator with an enclosure above ground.
And is it natural gas or diesel?
No, it's going to be diesel. There is no natural gas out there.
How do these work, the pumps work in supplying peak demands, but how does that integrate with our storage tanks? What kind of relationship is there? Is there a maximum that we keep in the tanks, or do we drain them down? And we drain them down halfway, then do the pumps continually to run to provide peak services?
Yeah, I was like, the water supply comes from this, supply of the pumps is from our tank.
Let me give a quick graphic.
What tank?
The tank that's out there now is 4 million gallons.
Right.
So the pump station sits right next to it. And this pump station that we're adding on to, increasing capacity, pumps water up to another tank on 43rd Street. That's 4 million gallons.
Okay.
So this pump station we're talking about takes water out of the system and out of this tank particularly. As this tank drops, if that's dropping, then that's basically being fed by the water plant.
Right.
So if that gets too low, the water plant has to increase their capacity, or increase their output. Okay. But the other question about how does this control this? Has a float system in it or a transducer system. So there's set points that says when this drops to a certain set point, that turns a pump on. Then it fills up. If it continues to drop to another set point, then it'll continue to turn more pumps on as it needs to keep that tank from getting too low.
Okay.
So there's going to be four large pumps in here instead of two large ones and two small ones.
So these tanks are really important.
Yes, and that's why this 4 million gallons here isn't enough. In the summertime, this thing will drop out and get so low that it doesn't have time to recover overnight because the demands are so high in the summer. So that new tank that we build right next to it will be the concrete one I just mentioned, that you mentioned, that's going to be roughly 6 million gallons. So by having 10 million gallons sitting there, we're going to be a lot better positioned to handle fire flows and those peak hot summer days. That gives you that cushion.
So why the BFDs? What purpose do they serve?
Good question. If this tank is down for cleaning, or if there is an emergency, if this pipe ruptures, God forbid, or if we're cleaning this tank, we can set the two new pumps in a BFD situation to ramp up and down to meet pressure demands so that we can do that work. And BFDs nowadays are becoming so affordable that it really isn't much difference in cost, just go to a soft start.
The system that's fed from that tank on 47th Street, is there any pumping out of that tank? Or is it all gravity at that point?
We're pumping to this tank, and it gravity's out to this P1 zone. That's the elevated higher zone.
So the elevation's high enough to feed all the demand.
Right. So like all the way up to Walmart, this tank feeds all the way up to Walmart. And it feeds all the way down to the Mariana View Golf Course. If you go back to that drawing that shows the city in pink there, I'll back up a little bit. That gives you the pink area, I think that's what that color is. Is it orange?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. The pink shaded area. All that area is fed by this pump station and that tank. Yep. It's higher up than the bulk of the city is down at this, what we call the gravity zone, or the P0.
Oh, he took it.
It's all the white area. Yeah, the white area. It's fed by the plant. Okay. The hydraulic seminar, I love it.
What I think we might do, excuse me,
sure.
Mr. Chair, what I think we might do, Roger, is over the next couple of months have a quick brief on the hydraulics of the system, not a master plan, but just a quick something like that, and then we'll talk about the SCADA system, because we have a really remarkable SCADA system on both the water and the power, but I get to see it every morning, but unfortunately they don't let me play with anything, so I can't turn anything on and off. All I can do is look at it.
Yeah. There's a lot of variables and dynamics happening out in the system. If this tank's down and this pump comes on, and we have, I forget the number exactly, 4 or 5 different water pump stations in the system. So it's pretty complex.
Yeah, pretty interesting.
Yep.
That's the fun part.
Yep. Any more questions on that before we discuss the contract?
Okay. Okay, Elena.
But you already asked questions, so we're just asking for you.
Okay, all right. I think we're ready for a motion, John.
I adopt the motion to award the contract for the 29th Street Pump Station P1 improvements to Velocity Constructors Incorporated in an amount not to exceed $994,676 and authorize city manager to execute the contract on behalf of the city.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, is there any more discussion? Any questions or discussion? All right, all those in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anybody opposed?
I'll abstain since I just got here.
Okay. Gary, what's the schedule on this project?
It's going to be finished in 2020, so it'll 1 year.
It'll have to be completed by next May. Mm-hmm. We want to have it done before the peak irrigation season to get started. Okay.
That's good.
Yeah. Our life revolves around irrigation season.
Okay. Hi, Dan.
Hey.
We just finished number 3. Let's go to the number 4, the intergovernmental agreement for the demand side management and distributed energy resource program.
It's a long title. It's not that.
All right.
A couple minor changes. I'm not Allison Bowling. Allison had another commitment, so I'm Tracy Houston. I'm the manager of customer relations. I have not been in a lot of these meetings, but I have a very high level view of what's going on with this agreement. And basically, the changes are really, really minor. We've had a lot of questions and a lot of requests from our customer base to add water efficiency measures to our Efficiency Works program. That's a big part of what's going on here. We're going to add rebates for toilets and urinals that are going to help us to save water and help our customers save money. We're hoping that we can take the $20,000 from the water division that Roger has so graciously said that he would give us to implement 250 rebates for one of these, one of the two, toilets or urinals. We're going to target multifamily dwellings so that we can get the most bang for our buck, and we're going to use the contractors that we've already used for efficiency works in the past. They have done some of these water measures in other cities, so it's not a big lift for them, but we're adding that to our program, so that's that cost of change in the agreement. The other part of that is that because we're adding this directed funding, the folks that are at Platte River will be able to implement these water measures. Ordinarily, they were only overseeing energy measures because they are an energy wholesaler, but now because we're adding to this program and we will participate in this as water contractors, that verbiage changes. And there's another verbiage change here that we're just updating the term. Instead of saying our city ratio that we usually use, our load share, we're changing that verbiage based on the fact that we're changing the way that wholesale, that they're billing us wholesale. So there's just a couple vocabulary changes, but other than that, the agreement is exactly the same. So we just wanted to keep you in the loop about the changes that are happening with the agreement. They're both in the packet if you have questions.
I think it's, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead, Jim. I think it's really interesting that this comes right after the P1 pump station, because there is a clear nexus between energy demand and water use. Up to 10% in some states, 10% of the energy expended is used simply to move water, whether it's raw water, wastewater, finished water, whatever. But there is a clear nexus. And so this is, I think, a very natural extension of the Efficiency Works program that has been in place for a number of years with PRPA and our other owner cities for PRPA, and extending that into the water side. They do a wonderful job up there. They've got a great staff that manages this. It's a real cost benefit to us in terms of the actual management of the system. And we think that, as Tracy said, by targeting multiple dwelling units that tend to be maybe a little older, that have the old style, we can get more bang for our buck with those rather than trying to do individual homes here and there. We had a very similar program in Southern California that retrofitted large retirement homes, apartment complexes, and things like that, and it was very, very successful. So we're very excited this year. We're not allocating a whole bunch of money to it, but if it's successful, we can always steal more money from Roger's budget, and maybe have more next year too. So it's pretty cool, and we think it's a pretty good program.
Our thoughts about the program are that we take the $20,000, we do 250 installations, in a ballpark, we can do $4 million savings for water.
Well, good bang.
Yeah. How will the program be advertised or made known to the public?
We do a great deal of our marketing through our contractors. We keep in touch with them, do a lot of training for them, and they go out and market a lot because they want those jobs.
Marketed correctly.
We also do events. We're in touch with a lot of the commercial real estate brokers, owners, managers. We work a lot with the chamber, so we are in touch with a lot of the business owners of town. So we do a lot of word of mouth, but mostly we don't have to use a lot of money to do our marketing. Most of our marketing comes through our contractors. And our program, of the four cities, our program is, we have the most projects every year, and we always run out of our budget by November. Just because it's popular, people are aware of it now. And I think also our residential program has added so much more in terms of offerings in their residential assessments and our work with Larimer County that there's a little buzz in Loveland about that, so I'm sure that'll help us too. Anybody else?
Maybe okay. A clarification question.
I think we need a motion. It says on here, ask for a motion.
We'll get there.
So on the, the water side, I'm all for retrofitting toilets and saving on that side. when I first read it, and I'm trying to see it all in here, I was a little confused of why is PRPA leading this charge on urinals and toilets?
Okay. Because they are sort of the mothership for Efficiency Works, and we all are the arms of Efficiency Works in our cities. Our cities
Efficiency
all
Work not being a term of art, a pro, an IGA
it's a program.
Program. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So
mothership being a term of art.
Yeah.
Okay.
It, look it up.
Look it up.
2011, Efficiency Work was born because all four cities were offering efficiency, rebates, measures. We were all working with the same contractors and all shooting for the same goal. So we put all our money together, and Flat River is our commonality.
Okay.
So that's where our rebates are housed. They put money in too because they can claim savings because they are our wholesaler.
So they power, though.
Power, right. So now the world has shifted. It's now not water conservation, it's water efficiency. So we can add efficiency. They are not going to pay for these measures, we are.
Okay.
But because we're already in the building, and we're already doing these things, and we're investigating ways that we can be efficient, we're adding the water side of that, and it just happens to be housed there.
Got
it. Okay,
thank
you. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
It's really evolved too from what it used to be, but now it's become a popular thing, and now people are kind of getting on the bandwagon of, you know, we can save money doing this. Let's change things, but you have to add all the measures that you can. So that's where our money comes in.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, I think we're ready for a motion.
I move to recommend that City Council approve the intergovernmental agreement with Platte River Power Authority for demand-side management and distributed energy resource program partnership.
Second.
Okay. Any more discussion? All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Anybody opposed? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.